First off, with a campaign going on to shut down Obamacare, which is now a synonym for recession or taxes or Ebola virus, depending on where you stand politically, this media campaign has certainly helped to create a sense of alarm and menace about the law, which is supposed to take effect tomorrow. We'll let you know where the government shutdown process stands and other even more alarming dramas of self-immolation Congress is planning. We will also answer your questions shortly about your own fears and concerns regarding the Affordable Care Act. But we begin with the fear itself. The fear generated by the media campaign turning Obamacare into a political curse word and the more general and completely expected fear of change that accompanies the implementation of any law that transforms the status quo. Those fears are all mixed up this time. Dante Cini is the director of the American Communities Project at American University. The fear is real, he says, and statistically significant, but figuring out what people fear, that's a tough one, says Dante.
It would be hard to know exactly what people are scared of without very, very long conversations with them. There was interesting, there was a CNBC poll that came out fairly recently now that showed that people actually don't really mind the Affordable Care Act so much. They're scared of Obamacare. I don't think they know those two things are the same thing. But when I look at the numbers about how people feel about Obamacare, what you see is that it does strike me as fear of change. The current system works a certain way. Something's coming. We're not really sure what it is. And they're concerned about it.
So if we break down the map county by county in America, who's scared the most? Who's embracing the act without a problem?
Well, embracing the act without a problem is hard to find, but there's data out there on the number of uninsured in every county. So we group them by four, you know, people with the best insurance, second best, third best, and people with least insurance. And it really is, there's a pretty uniform disapproval of the Affordable Care Act across the board. There's slightly less when you get to that group where people are not well insured, the least insured people in America. They're 45% approve. 49% disapprove. The most interesting thing to me is, you know, you're talking about places where at least 20% of the people in the community, in the county, don't have insurance, and they're still opposed to the act. And the reason why, when I start looking at the numbers, you'd have to have some really long conversations with people. But the thing that jumps out with you is obviously places with the least amount of insurance are also places with the lowest incomes. And what they're being told or what they're hearing is, I'm going to have to buy insurance now. I don't have any money. So even if it's $100 a month, I can't afford that right now. And that's how they're viewing this debate. The system we have now may not be good for them, but at least they know how it works, and they're envisioning spending money they don't have down the road. And I think that's one of the reasons they're really opposed.
And is that because there's a concrete issue there that, in fact, all of them or many of them will have to spend out of pocket in a way that's going to be really, really painful? Or is this another one of these cases where – really the branding of the critics has superseded the branding of the advocates of this bill?
Well, you'd have to go case by case, but it does seem to be, I mean, you've got to look at what an individual situation is, but there are going to be subsidies for a lot of these people. I mean, these places with low insurance, the median household income in those places is $39,000, okay? So a lot of these places, a lot of these people in these places are going to qualify for subsidies. But they don't see it that way. And it's, even if you tried to explain it to them, they don't know what it is yet. And what happens is these people get coverage, if you want to call it that, in their own way. They don't go until they get very sick. Then they go to the emergency room and then they work out an agreement with the hospital to pay what they can pay. And they don't ever pay the full amount. So for them, the way they view this is, well, right now I'm only using the system when I need to use it. But a monthly bill to them, these are people who don't have a lot of money for rent, for food, and it's scary to them.
Although the irony is the Affordable Care Act is attempting, as one of its main missions, to prevent people from having those kinds of emergency room problems. So we'll really see that clash get resolved or get further complicated by this October 1st deadline.
That's exactly right. Because look, you know, when these people go to the emergency room, and I don't mean these people, I mean people who don't have insurance and they need coverage,
they go
to the emergency room. You know, what's happening is, you know, they're not paying the full bill. They're working on an arrangement. It's not like the hospitals are just writing that money off. What really happens is the people with insurance end up picking up the tab on that bill. I mean, in some ways, the way the current system works is those with insurance are picking up the tab for all these people. And those with good insurance are kind of complicit in, if you want to call it that, complicit in the system too. That what they're saying is, I'm okay with the way the system works now, too, I think, compared to something that I don't understand yet. And it's really going to be interesting 6 months, a year from now, when this thing has been in effect for a while, to come back and look at these numbers again, particularly among places that used to have low health insurance, because we know where the counties were now, and look at what the numbers look like.
Maybe the survey then will be, do you miss your emergency room visits?
That's right.
And that's not even funny, but it's a pretty interesting test of how this could actually work.
That's exactly right. I'll tell you, the really interesting thing is, you know who won't miss the emergency room visits, and that's the hospitals.
Right.
They don't like the way the system works right now. It's the healthcare system in America is so complicated. And that's why, you know, to me, the idea that there's a lot of disapproval over the Affordable Care Act isn't really surprising to me, because right now it's just a bunch of scary ideas. Nobody knows what the reality is of it yet. They haven't seen it in action yet. And you're talking about a very big part of the economy with a lot of moving parts. And I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing the numbers you're seeing on it right now.
Dante Chinney, director of the American Communities Project at American University. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.